for information about me. I try to blame Sarah for turning us into the police, but I can only blame myself for contacting her when everyone told me not to. I keep quiet and dig my heels into Bernie Kosar's hide, and he picks up the pace. Six is somewhere in Spain, hopefully with another member of the guard. Part of me wants to get on a plane to go directly to her, but with my escape from a federal facility and my face still on the FBI's most wanted list, I don't see how it's possible. We make it to the SUV, and I painfully dismount. I unlock the back door, and Nine quietly loads both chests into the trunk, crawling across the back seat, disgusted with myself. I ask Nine if he'll drive.
"I was hoping you'd ask," Nine replies.
I hand him the keys and feel the engine come to life. Something is under my body, and I shift to my side to find Sam's dad's glasses. I hold them above my head, and I let the moon reflect in the lenses. I suck in a deep breath and whisper, "We'll see each other again soon, Sam. I promise." And then, when I think things can't get much worse, it hits me almost harder than the blue force field.
Oh, shit! Six's address for when we meet, it was in Sam's pocket. I'm so stupid! How are we gonna find each other now?
Over his shoulder, Nine says,
"Don't worry, Four. Things are happening for a reason. If we're supposed to meet up with Six or Five or whoever, we will. And if Sam is supposed to still be a part of all this, he will be."
Bernie Kosar jumps into the back seat in his beagle form and licks my cheek. I pat his head and let out a long-drawn sigh, in utter disbelief that after everything that's gone wrong in the last 48 hours, I've also managed to lose the address Six had written down. I look out the window to see the wind is blowing to the north, and I wonder if it might be telling me something, or at the very least, pointing me in the right direction, as Six believes it's done for her.
"Head north," I say. "I think north would be good."
"You got it, boss."
Nine steps on the gas, and I look over at Bernie Kosar, who has curled up and fallen asleep.
We bury Hector's body at the bottom of the dam, where the white concrete meets the grass. He once told me that the key to change is letting go of fear, I say, looking into the eyes of Ella, Creighton, and Six. I don't know if I've let go of fear just yet, but the change is happening. It's definitely happening, and I can only hope that you all can help me through it.
"We're a team," Ella says.
"Of course we will."
After we say our goodbyes, we climb the dam's ladder. We stand on top of the dam, peering down into the valley and the lake. On the other side of the dam is a series of locks holding back a much larger lake, and I can't help but think it's a metaphor for the way I'm feeling right now. In front of me lies my past, small and distant and dotted with carnage, threatened to be flooded at any time. Behind me and my fellow guard members, the future is massive and held back by unnatural forces. I turn to Six and ask,
"Do you know a John Smith in Ohio? Is he one of us?"
Her smile is wide.
"I do know John. He's number Four."
I reach for Ella's hand on my right and Six's on my left, and we stand there, letting the mountain breeze whip our hair around our faces. Ella looks over at Six and asks,
"Can we go to America?"
"The charm is broken. I don't see why we can't all be together now," Six shrugs, turning back to the lake below. Creighton joins us.
"I hate to say this, but it's the calm before the storm, ladies. We're winning far too many battles for them to ease up now. You're getting too strong for them, and they'll be throwing everything they have at you. No more small armies with a few hundred soldiers and a couple of clumsy beasts. Their ruler will be here soon. Cetricus Ra.
Who?
I ask. Cetricus Ra. Creighton shakes his head. And I don't think we're ready for him.
Then it's settled, I say.
We're going to Ohio to be with John Smith.
West Virginia, actually. In exactly 2 weeks,
Six says.
I'm not sure that's wise just yet.
Creighton begins walking away.
We need to gather the others first.
Six walks after him.
That sounds good and all, but I have no idea where they are.
I do,
Creighton says, not turning around.
I also know where our chimeras are. If Cetricus Ra thinks this is going to be easy, he's got another thing coming.
We follow him, taking the first of many steps down the opposite side of the dam.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged recording of The Power of Six by Pittacus Lore, performed by Neil Kaplan and Marisol Ramirez. This program was produced and directed by Bob Dion. Executive producer, Karen Jakonski. Text copyright 2011 by Pittacus Lore. Production copyright 2011 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.